how-tos for loving God and loving others. It's time for Intimate Moments with Dr. David Ferguson of Intimate Life Ministries. Today, the God-created need for respect.
And some of us today might find that in our relationships, that may be one of the things that's missing. It'd be a blessing if somebody just entered into our lives and said, you know, I've been thinking about this possibility or this option or this decision. What do you think? What kind of input or ideas do you have? How about in the workplace? Can you imagine a supervisor or boss who might gather together a group of people and say, you know, today's meeting, I'd just like to hear from some of you about some of the things you're seeing that we might could improve on.
Dr. David Ferguson. For more tips on Great Commandment Living, visit greatcommandment.net. Greatcommandment.net. Aloneness hurts.
I took it out on the kids. Took it out on the kids. I would be real harsh with them. It would come out in criticism.
Aloneness hurts you and others. A hurt that can last for generations. Change the pattern. Call today and order Parenting with Intimacy. In Parenting with Intimacy, parents of all types can experience a biblical journey of discovery and freedom, designed to establish home and family as a place of safety and refuge. Effective parenting requires just the right balance between love and discipline, rules and relationships. It also requires freedom from your own personal and childhood issues.
I just feel like that we have broken the cycle of pain that we had when we were growing up with our parents. And that is a blessing.
Order Parenting with Intimacy. 1-800-881-8008. 1-800-881-8008.
In a world where everybody is being challenged to kind of do their own thing, one of the things that happens is we end up isolated in our own individualism. Each of us so focused on doing our own thing, creating our own reality, that everyone is very disconnected, oftentimes very alone.
That's Dr. David Ferguson, and this is Great Commandment Radio, where every day we learn the how-tos for Great Commandment Living, that is, loving God and loving others in the real world. And our topic this week on Great Commandment Radio, experiencing relevant truth in a world of relativism. We're sneaking you this week inside the 2003 Youth Pastor Summit that was held at Universal Studios in Orlando, Florida, and sponsored by our friends at J. Strack Ministries. But first, let's spend a little time with David and Teresa Ferguson, co-directors of Intimate Life Ministries.
This week in our series together, we're exploring this relativistic world we live in. Nothing seems firm, solid. Nothing seems to be able to be counted upon. Everybody is creating their own reality. And in the course of doing so, it seems that we have a message that I don't really need you. It's not okay for you to need me. During today's program, we're going to be exploring some relevant truth. Some foundations, if you will, that give us a sense of security. And the relevant truth that Teresa and I will explore with you today is, you know what? We really do need one another. Part of the Great Commandment message we oftentimes share on these programs is the dilemma of Adam in Genesis 2. He had this perfect relationship with God, walking in the garden with God, and yet God says it's not good because he's alone. He really did need the blessing of another person, other relationships. And maybe that's why God created relationships like the church, because we need one another. Maybe that's why he created the family, children, as gifts from the Lord, because we really do need one another. And how about married life? The married life blessing that, Teresa, I really do need you. And I hate to admit it at times, but it's okay for you to need me.
Can we write that down?
I know, that one's a challenge, but we really do need one another. And yet, that's oftentimes a challenge in today's world.
You know, in today's world, they also say that a woman's supposed to be self-reliant, self-sufficient. Man, go out there and get it done. You know, there's a difference, though, in being self-sufficient and self-reliant versus being competent. Mm. I think we can be competent women without being self-sufficient and self-reliant. Listen to those words, self, into one's self. And I think that's what the world needs to understand. There is a difference between being competent and being self-reliant, which means if I'm self-reliant and self-sufficient, I don't have to trust you. I don't have to depend on you. I can go out and do it myself. Underneath those sentences is a lot of fear. A lot of fear statements of self-reliant, self-sufficient. I haven't been able to trust anybody in the past, and I probably can't trust anybody today, so I'll do it myself. Those words are filled with fear.
Now, Tracy, it sounds like you're sharing those from a certain amount of personal experience.
I can own those. I sure can. People used to say, Tracy, you're such a self-sufficient person, so self-reliant, and I used to take pride in that. But again, I've learned that underneath those two quote-unquote false qualities was a lot of fear, of there won't be anybody there. I can't trust anybody. And that's exactly what God wanted to show me and heal in me, is that fear of not being able to trust.
How about you? Is a part of your religious experience somehow communicated a message to you that you should really only need God? If you prayed hard enough, exercised enough faith, why would you be needing other people? Today's program will explore that. One of the models for this will be the Lord Jesus himself. We're oftentimes exploring the Matthew 26 passage as he prays in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he obviously has a close and intimate relationship with his Father, and yet he looks at Peter, James, and John, and he asks them to come join him in prayer. I wonder if a part of the humanity of Jesus, the God-man, wasn't created just like you and me, needing of one another.
David and Teresa Ferguson of Intimate Life Ministries. By the way, when you visit our website, be sure to check out our Great Commandment network of churches. We work with churches of various sizes and denominations and worship styles literally all over the world. You can find out more at greatcommandment.net. That's greatcommandment.net. Dr. David Ferguson from the 2003 Youth Pastor Summit coming up next.
Could I challenge you to restore that identity? Who are those Christians? Those people are people who are friends of what? Sinners.
Thanks for joining us today for Great Commandment Radio as we experience the how-tos for loving God and loving others. We want to take a minute to answer a question you may have. Who and what is Intimate Life Ministries?
One of the burdens of our ministry is to help people get beyond sharing with them what to do and equip them in how to do it.
Intimate Life Ministries is a training and resource ministry whose purpose is to assist in the development of Great Commandment Ministries worldwide.
That's one of the keys of our ministry, is that we must come to experience biblical truth. We must move beyond simply knowing about it. We must come to experience it.
Perhaps we can be of service to you or your church or denomination. Contact us at 1-800-881-8008. We'd love to hear from you. 1-800-881-8008 or through the web at greatcommandment.net. Greatcommandment.net. How-tos for loving God and loving others. Time for Intimate Moments with Dr. David Ferguson of Intimate Life Ministries. Today, the God-created need for support.
Support is one of those that comes out of a beautiful image drawn from Galatians 6:2. Bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ, the law of love. Imagine that picture of bearing another person's burden. It's really the picture of you under a heavy load. You're about to go down for the last time. And then the image is someone comes alongside and gets under that load with you. That's what Christ has done, is it not? We've all been laden down with sin. Christ comes to bear the burden. We have a God who supports us.
For more tips on Great Commandment Living, visit greatcommandment.net. Greatcommandment.net.
There were lots of people that got married in our town during that time, real young. When you grew up in a small Texas panhandle town that had zip to do, there wasn't anything else to do but, you know, escape.
Why did you get married? Why do you stay married? Obligation for the kids? Ever say to yourself, there's got to be more to marriage than this? call now to order Intimate Encounters from Intimate Life Ministries, a tried and tested program for discovering the secrets of a really great marriage.
It was very painful, very painful. The days seemed to be okay, but the nights were a nightmare.
Worksheets, exercises, and personal inventories to help you gain a better understanding of each other's deepest feelings and needs, resulting in a new close marriage.
He's really a balance for me, and he's my gift, and I receive him, and I wouldn't have anybody else. Ever.
Order Intimate Encounters, 1-800-881-8008. We need one another. That is a relevant truth, even in a world of relativism. Welcome back to Great Commandment Radio with Dr. David and Teresa Ferguson of Intimate Life Ministries. This week, we've been sneaking you in to the 2003 Youth Pastors Conference, hosted by J. Strack Ministries. We'll give you information on how you can contact them and be part of this event at Universal Studios in Orlando, Florida, later on in the broadcast. We believe that relevant youth ministry is key to the survival of the church in the 21st century. Let's join Dr. David Ferguson.
Why is God so burdened about sin? Is it just because he has an eternal mad on against sin? Or is it possible that eternal God knows that sin is what keeps those he loves what? Alone. Men and women, that is a critical difference for this new millennium church. What's it going to do to your evangelism? I'll tell you what it'll do to your evangelism. Consider this. If it's true that people are both fallen and alone, which of those two things can you do most about? Isn't it true that when he cried out, "It's finished," God had done everything that was needed to take care of your sin? You can't do much about another person's sin, can you? That's what Calvary's all about. But it's possible that the Spirit of God can engage you and imparting, as Paul would say, not only the gospel, but your very life in such a way that a few people around you are a little less what? A little less alone. Let me tell you one of the things that's happening. I'll allude to it later. We're sending young people out. We're sending church people out all across America with a mindset that I've pointed out somebody's sin today, thinking that they somehow are successful. And I want to encourage you, the Spirit of God is going to give you a new question. Did you remove anybody's aloneness today? See, did you, like that good Samaritan, cross the road and remove the aloneness of somebody laying on the other side of the road? Did you remove anybody's aloneness today? You see, I believe that one of the critical issues of relevance is how we see people. And this is going to speak to us concerning that very issue. Next, I want you to see how this puts us at a crossroads. Sin was not the first human crisis. And we're at a crossroads. Let me describe this crossroads to you. It's in John chapter 9. You can write that down. Whole chapter of John 9 is about Jesus with his disciples entering into the city, and they find this man laying beside the road. Remember the story? And he's blind from birth. Laying beside the road, blind from birth, and the Bible says that Jesus and those disciples walk up to him, and Jesus is going to be moved with compassion to heal him. The whole chapter is about the glorious rejoicing of this one who was blind, who now sees, who's rejected by the religious leaders, who's misunderstood by his own family, is excommunicated from religious life. And Jesus, the Bible says, at the end of the chapter, when he heard they had put him out, when they heard they had excommunicated him, if you will, from the religious life of the community, Jesus sought him out. The whole story is about Jesus relevantly sharing compassionate love. And here's the point I want to make. The disciples look at the very same man. And you remember what they ask? Who what? Who sinned? Men and women, that is the crossroads of the church of the 21st century. We're at that crossroads right there. Are we going to look for people around us in the bondage and the pain of their lives, their sin, and are we going to be moved by compassionate love? Or are we going to ask the question, what who sinned. I believe that question needs to be challenged with every one of your young people. But there's not only a question here, there's a challenge or there's an opportunity here. Could I encourage you with this possibility, men and women? Did you know that one of the labels that Jesus had in the Gospels was that he was called a friend of what? Sinners. Could I challenge you to restore that identity to the 21st century church? Could I challenge you to restore that identity? Who are those Christians? Those people are people who are friends of what? Sinners. Men and women, most of the gospel stories we have are about Jesus encountering a woman at a well, a woman of ill repute, a woman caught in adultery, a Zacchaeus, tax collector, up a tree. And well, you say, what's the big deal about sin? Sin is still sin, but if you're honest with the New Testament, his most reproving rebukes against sin are against church people. Religious hypocrisy. Can I encourage you and challenge you to restore the identity of this 21st century church, to have as a part of our identity, we are friends of sinners? As you minister to the aloneness in the hearts of people, would you not send out young people thinking that somehow they've lived the Christian life this week because they pointed out somebody else's sin? But would you instill in them a question that the Holy Spirit would ask them, what aloneness did you remove in the hearts of people's lives today? Did you cross the road and care for any person? Did you comfort any person? Did you appreciate any person that came across your path? Did you support them in some way? Did you in some way minister to their aloneness? Could I suggest to you this is one of the ways to grow a great ministry? It's to remove the aloneness of people around you. I could take you to a church, Brother Paul Garza. I've known him for 30 years. Brother Paul, how'd you grow your great church? And Brother Paul will tell you, well, a great deal of it came out of my team who learned how to comfort people. And we sent them to the emergency rooms on Friday and Saturday nights of hospitals in our community. There's a lot of pain in emergency rooms, wouldn't you imagine? There's a lot of aloneness there, aren't there? He just sent teams into the emergency rooms of hospitals of people who knew how to comfort. I'm really sorry that happened. I really regret that that's happened. There's not only a lot of pain in those emergency rooms, there's a lot of sin there too. A lot of abuse. And yet they were trained to understand that people are not only fallen, but they're what? They're alone. Could I encourage you to allow the Spirit of God to challenge you to look for people in your lives and your ministries who are alone, and allow the Spirit of God to so love you through you that they're a little less alone?
Dr. David Ferguson, if you'd like more information on the Youth Pastors Conference for 2004, go to www.studentleadership.net. That's studentleadership.net with J. Strack Ministries. If we can be of service to you in helping you establish intergenerational ministries in your church, meaning places where kids and their parents come together to experience God's Word in the same room in church, we call it intergenerational ministry. Find out more at our website, greatcommandment.net. That's greatcommandment.net. David and Teresa Ferguson return right after this break. You're married. Things are okay, or maybe not. Aloneness in a marriage can produce a wide variety of emotions, thoughts, and feelings that can destroy a marriage. Change the pattern. You've been married a few months or a few years. Your intimacy could be better. You know the problems are about the ways you relate, but how can you change? Never Alone Devotions for Couples by David and Teresa Ferguson will help you give and receive love in a whole new way. Through these proven principles, you will find fresh strength to join with Christ to meet each other's relational needs. You can and you will improve your marriage and grow spiritually as a couple. Order the Never Alone Devotions for Couples today. Call toll-free 1-800-881-8008. That's 1-800-881-8008. Discover true spiritual and marital intimacy through the Never Alone Devotions for Couples.
Have you ever wondered why we have such a stark, uncompromising look at all of the heroes in the Bible?
How-tos for loving God and loving others. Time for Intimate Moments with Dr. David Ferguson of Intimate Life Ministries.
Why do we see not only their strengths, but all their weaknesses? It's because God's given us a glimpse of the power of vulnerability. You see, because when you're weak, then His Spirit brings forth strength. You see, God wants us to be vulnerable. The life of Christ was characterized by vulnerability. He was vulnerability with His example of dependency upon the Father. You remember when they would oftentimes go away and they'd find Him, what? Praying, dependent upon the Father.
For more tips on Great Commandment Living, visit greatcommandment.net. Greatcommandment.net. Thanks for joining us today for Great Commandment Radio. We want to take just a minute to tell you a little bit about our ministry. Our ministry focuses on helping ministers, their families, their marriages, their kids, and their churches. We support ministers and churches. That's what we're all about. If you're a pastor, we invite you to visit our website at greatcommandment.net. Greatcommandment.net. We have free sermon downloads for you. We can tell you about Galatians 6:6 getaways for ministers and their spouses, and so much more. And if you're joining us out there, we encourage you, support your ministry team in your local church. Any way you can. They're good people doing good work spreading the good news. Now you can host a Great Commandment Weekend workshop in your church and community, where participants will really experience Scripture within their own relationships as led by an Intimate Life Ministries trainer. Each workshop focuses on a specific type of relationship, such as marriage, parenting, or single adult friendships. At the workshop, you'll explore and become better equipped in God's antidote to the first human crisis, removing aloneness. All participants experience Scripture lived out in their relationship with God and others, especially their nearest ones. And all participants are challenged to ask a different question concerning their closest relationships. What should God be receiving from this relationship? For information on weekend workshops you can host on marriage, parenting, or single adult friendships, go to our website at greatcommandment.net. Greatcommandment.net. Or call toll-free 1-800-881-8008. We need one another. It's a relevant truth in a world of relativism. Welcome back to Great Commandment Radio. We need one another. It applies not only to Christians and those we love. It applies to sinners and those we find hard to love. But that is what Great Commandment Living is all about. Back to David and Teresa Ferguson, co-directors of Intimate Life Ministries.
In this closing segment, we'd like to draw your attention to maybe an understanding, an image of what the body of Christ is really all about that might help reinforce this very relevant truth today. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 explores the reality that when one of us suffers, we all suffer. And when one of us, as a part of His body, is honored, we are all honored. Sometimes, Teresa and I have tried to communicate this truth as a picture somewhat like this. Imagine that you, as a part of the body of Christ, have been attached by the Holy Spirit to the person, the head of the church, Jesus Christ. Just get that image for just a moment. Now, this may sound silly. Don't you be laughing at me, Teresa. But imagine
this
you're...
This is pretty original, David.
imagine you're driving down the interstate, or maybe you're sitting at home, or you're in the workplace listening to us over the internet. And yet, imagine that you are attached by the Holy Spirit to the head of the church, Jesus Christ. But now I want you to imagine that your spouse is similarly attached, and that, in fact, your children, as they have become believers, are attached to Jesus Christ, or that friend down the street who knows the Lord, or this person, in fact, maybe, hopefully, most of those at church with you have been attached by the personal commitment they made to Christ. So I want you to imagine this picture. Now, as Teresa just said...
Now, this is the part that's radical. Hang on.
It doesn't sound very seminary elite, but I sometimes describe that picture that I hope you're getting in your mind as the Holy Ghost octopus. So imagine descending out of heaven attached to Jesus Christ is the Holy Spirit who has attached himself to every part of the church.
So you have a tentacle hanging on your head.
That's exactly right. Now, as you imagine that picture, be honest, there will be many of us that would say, well, if I was doing the attaching, I wouldn't have attached the Holy Spirit to that person over there. I think some of us may be surprised in heaven at some of the people that the Spirit has attached himself to. We might not have picked them, but it's possible that God, by his Spirit, has drawn them into a relationship with his Son, Jesus Christ, just like he has us. Now imagine that picture for just a moment. I know it's strange, but does that help give you a little insight into what Paul means when one part of the body suffers? Imagine a part of the body now suffering, hurting, rejected, in pain and sorrow. I think it's very true that the head is hurting, right? Jesus Christ is hurting. In fact, Isaiah 63:9 speaks of God being afflicted, hurt, as the children of Israel were afflicted. When one part of the body hurts, the head hurts. And imagine the Holy Spirit beginning to tug on the compassionate hearts of other parts of the body, such that when one suffers, we all suffer. And then Paul says, when one part of the body is honored, is lifted up, celebrating, rejoicing, the head, Jesus Christ, is excited to celebrate, to rejoice. And by the Holy Spirit, he begins to tug on the hearts of the celebration and the rejoicing in the hearts of the rest of the body. Maybe we really do need one another, and we are actually a part of one another. Why not celebrate that today with those near you, with the reality that we really are being built up unto the head, Jesus Christ, expressing more and more of his likeness and love? Why not look for an opportunity to express, maybe celebrating with someone near you? It's just a reminder that we really are all in this together. And why don't you look for an opportunity to hurt with someone around you, maybe in the workplace, at church, or in your own home? It's just a reminder that not only am I hurting for you, but you know what? My hurting for you is a reminder that Christ is hurting for you. That's what this is all about. We really do need one another. That's relevant truth for a world of relativism. Thanks for joining us today.
Dr. David and Teresa Ferguson, they'll be joining us again as we continue our series, Relevant Truth in a World of Relativism. Visit our website for free downloads on this topic and many others. For information on conferences, workshops, accreditation, our Great Commandment Network of Churches, and more, it's all at greatcommandment.net. That's greatcommandment.net. We return to the 2003 Youth Pastor Summit on tomorrow's edition of Great Commandment Radio.
The whole chapter is about the glorious rejoicing of this one who was blind, who now sees, who's rejected by the religious leaders, who's misunderstood by his own family, is excommunicated from religious life. And Jesus, the Bible says, at the end of the chapter, when he heard they had put him out, when they heard they had excommunicated him, if you will, from the religious life of the community, Jesus sought him out.
And we close with a thanks to our Great Commandment Network of radio stations. They make our time together possible every day. Support local Christian radio. It's good news your community can use. Join us tomorrow for Great Commandment Radio.